met Dr. Lee Wonick at our University of Chicago large group
at our large group at university.
Back when John was going there in undergrad and I was still kind of going as a visitor. John's dad actually spoke to the large group there, and at the time I thought he was kind of weird and strange. I did not know that he will become my father-in-law, so, but I am very proud to have him as one. Dr. Lee Wonick is a, he and his wife were missionaries in the Philippines for over 30 years. He served as dean at the Asian Theological Seminary and at the Asian Graduate School of Theology.
Got it.
Thank you. So, come welcome Lee Wonick.
Would you like the light on or off? I don't know. The light hinders the thing a little bit.
I'm okay, but if you want to read the paper back there or something, maybe you need some light back there. So, anyway, it's good to be here. I really enjoy IV, and IV has had a really positive effect on all three of my kids. And so I appreciate doing whatever I can to be of help here. I wanted to talk this morning about something I feel is, it's something that affects virtually every organization. And I've used the term synergy. It turns out synergy is a biblical term, and we find it used several places. And so I want to address this whole idea of working together. How do we work together? And we see so many examples of synergy. For example, sports teams. We were in Denver a couple of weeks ago, and we saw the Broncos play Pittsburgh. And what a game. Now, I know Broncos are an underrated team, but they had synergy that day. Things really came together. They really hummed, and they won. Now, the next week, I don't want to talk about that, but it was great to see a team work together like that. We see it in nature. This whole thing of we need oxygen and plants produce oxygen and use carbon dioxide. Think about that. Think about that balance that's there, that mutual relationship that's there. How about our own bodies and the idea even of our DNA? I watched a video the other night of how cells make DNA, how they copy and how it replicates and divides. That's pretty fantastic stuff. And so there's a synergy that's going on there in the billions of cells of our bodies. We see it in relationships. When there's synergy, things really happen. Things can really gel in a group. The invention of the jet engine is an example. There was a group that came together and formed what was called a skunk works. It was named because the building they got was got the smells from, I think, the garbage dump or something. But in that building, they had synergy, and that helped win World War II. If you're into racing, you see synergy in a well-tuned engine. And that, you know, an engine that doesn't produce up to 100%. It's 110, 120. And it does a whole lot better than what you would expect from that engine. We all have problems with our computers. And so when your computer's working well and you're tuned into that computer, oh, it's like being an extension of your body. But when you get a virus, look out. And then I hear the stories of John when he comes home and says, oh man, all these people got messed up computers and so on. So there's lots of examples of synergy around us. Well, what exactly are we talking about when we talk about synergy? We're talking about a mutually advantageous conjunction of distinct elements. Now, what does that mean? It means when you put these two things together, you get more than what you would expect from them separately. So the combined action is greater than what you would expect from these things separately. Now think about that as an organization. What does that mean here at InterVarsity, for example? And it raises a question as we look at this whole idea of combined action, of synergy, of working together. What does that mean when we're working together? What are your experiences of synergy in ministry? Anybody? Anybody with great stories? We need to spend more time on synergy. It doesn't happen real often. We usually don't reach that peak level. But there were times in our ministry where I think of our early years in Mindanao, there was a lot of crisis around us because there was communist insurgency, there was Muslim insurgency, and that brought the church together, and there was a focus on mutual care. And we grew. We grew in times of crisis around us, and that was one of the most exciting times of my life, seeing that come together, seeing new churches started, seeing people come to Christ, and everybody had a mind to work. But that idea of synergy was there. And I'd like to look at what does the Bible have to say about synergy? And we find this passage in Ecclesiastes. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn there. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can pick him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Well, I didn't have enough cord this morning for all of you, but if you see in front of you, there's a rope by your feet. Pick it up. Take a look at it. So, this is a strong rope. We used this rope to pull down some trees a couple years ago. What makes this rope strong?
A lot of strands.
A what?
A lot of strands.
A lot of strands. There's a lot of strands. Okay, what else?
The material.
What's the material? What do you think?
Nylon.
It's nylon, yeah. It's a good, strong material. Anything else makes this strong?
The material is flexible.
Yeah, it is very flexible. It's probably more flexible than most rope.
Braided well?
It's braided. Why would braiding make something stronger? But this is a very ancient idea of braiding rope. And it actually does make the rope stronger. Three strands, as it says in Ecclesiastes, braided together is actually stronger than the three strands alone. That's synergy. Well, this is more than three strands braided together. But I think you get the idea. And so there's this idea So we see that the rope, it's bound together, the strands are twisted together, and as tension is put on, the strands bind together more tightly. And that distributes the tension. So, and if one of those strands is weaker, the other strands picks it up because of that braiding that's there. A braided rope is also elastic. And so that elasticity can absorb shock. And there are some organizations where a crisis comes along and it kills the organization. They don't have that elasticity to survive. They don't have that depth of synergy to get through the tough times. And then, of course, there's the idea of strength, that the strands are interwoven, and that has proven to be a stronger design because you're dealing with an angular cross-section. But we don't need to get into the physics of it. So let's take a look at this passage in Ecclesiastes. It says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. Well, we can also say two heads are better than one. The idea of sharing ideas, of thinking together. And I guess two heads are better than one unless they're on the same body. So then there's the idea of specialization. And this is what Henry Ford did. Before Henry Ford, we made cars one at a time. And it took hundreds and hundreds of hours to assemble a car. And they weren't the same. When Henry Ford came along with the assembly line, what happened? Well, today, it takes about 18 man hours to put a car together. That's pretty good. So we find this mutual productivity, specialization in various tasks, working together on the task. One of the things we often saw in the Philippines and the province is what's called a bayanihan. And so today this has become a metaphor in Tagalog and in Cebuano for working together. So the idea here is, you know, you've got your neighbors, they're helping to move a house. Well, can one man move a house? Yeah, one man can move a house. You can disassemble it, you can carry it to the new location, you can put it back together again, but it's very inefficient. But 30 men carrying a house, it's done in a few hours. And so this is typically what you see in the province when property or a house has to be moved like this. A bayanihan is a matter of mutual productivity, working together. And then in verse 10, it talks about mutual care. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who has no one to help him. I think this is one of the problems we have in churches today. We have pastors who are lonesome. I was talking to a pastor a couple years ago, and I was just shocked to find he had been in that church for about 8 years. I said, well, do you know any of the other pastors in town? Are you relating with the church? Is there a pastor's fellowship? Is there anything like this where you work together? No. Nothing. I thought, well, you get discouraged. Who do you talk to? Well, there's nobody. So the idea of mutual care. So we see here on the rope, if one strand is weak, the others can pick up the slack. And we're all weak at one time or another. So if one falls down, the other can care for him. So the question arises in a large organization like InterVarsity, how do we care for others even across national boundaries? You're part of an international organization. How does that mutual care take place? And then the idea of mutual comfort. If two lie down together, they'll keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? I don't have to go in depth on this metaphor, I guess. But I remember a time in Michigan. I was raising support and stayed at this farmhouse. And I was in the, like, what would be called a sun porch, unheated, three-season room, and it was January, a day like today. Wow, was I cold. And there was nobody keep me warm because I was alone. And finally, there was a hair dryer there. And I plugged it in and I stuck it under the covers, and that's how I got through the night. So the idea of mutual comfort and comforting one another, caring for one another. So there's comfort in being together. There's comfort in praying for each other and in being accepted. So, of course, the scripture is very clear. It commands, comfort one another. Then there's mutual protection. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. When we first moved to Mindanao, we lived right in Davao City, and we chose a house where there were no neighbors on either side and nobody in front of us. There was a neighbor in back of us, but there was like a 15-foot wall between us, and we rarely saw them. Well, after some months, we had a number of robberies, break-ins. We had people come in while we were sleeping, actually carve holes in the door, and we didn't have a dog. And I was thinking, very U.S. suburban, this is a good place for the kids because there's room to play, a few people traveling here, and this is a nice spot. Well, we went through that about a dozen times. We went through extortion four times. And finally, a colonel friend of mine said, move. And we moved into a little community where we became better known. And so this whole idea of mutual protection comes into play here. So that there's safety in numbers, and we're always more vulnerable when we're alone. In Cebuano, if you're traveling alone and you run into somebody, they'll ask you, "Kinsaman ang imong kauban?" Who is the person with you? Because everybody has somebody with them. We're a very independent culture. We don't do that. And it raises some questions with us of how we do this mutual protection, and the need to have that emphasis in our lives. And then there's the whole issue of synergy with people. So we can have horizontal synergy, people working together to produce a good result, and it's greater than the sum of our individual efforts. And Paul uses this word in 1 Corinthians 16 and several other places. Joining together in the work. The Greek word is synergeo. And then in Philemon, Paul talks about his fellow workers and uses the same words. That right in the meaning of fellow worker is this idea of synergy. Then there's also synergy in what we would call the vertical dimension, synergy with God. Well, so people who work for kingdom values in cooperation with the Holy Spirit are going to have that synergy. That's going to be a mark of the work of the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, we are God's fellow workers, synergeo. And then in Romans 8:28, in all things, God works together for the good of those who love him. The same root word, synergeo, is there. So there's this sense of synergy with God. So that means that in our Christian organizations like InterVarsity, we shouldn't look like any other or business, we're in a different kind of business. So we're supposed to be agents for the kingdom. So our work is kingdom work. And so a central part of our working together is the synergy with God and with one another in actualizing these kingdom relationships and kingdom values. So that's really the root of synergy. Our synergy is not ultimately rooted in the task that we're doing. It's rooted in God. So we have synergy when we work for the good, as we read in Romans 8:28. So sometimes we don't see the good. Sometimes we look and we say, these things are bad. We don't see the good result that's going to come out of it. And it's only when we're through a crisis and we look back that we see the value of it. And we pick up some especially good result and we look back and then we see, something came out of this, even though it may have been painful. So, some of the perceived bad events turn out to have a good purpose. If you look in the history of Israel, you see the whole issue of the exile, of going into Babylon, you see what a good result that had. It was actually the exile, going to a pagan land that rid Israel of its paganism. Kind of ironic. So it had a good result. So basically what we're looking for is a kind of clockwork analogy. So all the gears are working together, and they work together because the master designer made it so. So each gear supports the clock's purpose and to announce the time of day. So there's this need to work together as a clock works. Now, we're human beings, so sometimes the clock has the wrong time. But but we work through that. We work through the crises, and that's part of the synergy. So some of the examples in Scripture, in Nehemiah, the word synergy isn't used, but we see there Nehemiah saying the people had a mind to work. And when you read that book of Nehemiah, you see synergy in practice. You see it happening. In worship, do you ever think about synergy in worship? Worship is a corporate thing. So Jesus says, where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. I'm in the midst of them. We see it in this whole idea of unity. So the church is in synergy with Christ. Our ultimate goal is the unity of believers in Christ. Now, what happens when there's a lack of synergy? Well, that's one of the results. You've got two teams here, and they're not really communicating that well, and they're starting from opposite ends, and you could see what the result is. So we don't need projects. We have enough projects like this in the Christian world. Here's another example for those of you who like biking. Some other examples in Scripture. In Genesis, the story of Babel. God actually created with Babel a lack of synergy because people couldn't communicate. And he did it because they were going in the wrong direction. They had synergy, but they're going the wrong way. So we see it in the report, the majority report and the minority report in the Exodus from Egypt. So some said, we can take the land. The Lord is with us. And the 10 said, there's giants in the land. And that lack of synergy resulted in 40 years in the wilderness. We see it in Acts 15. And Paul and Barnabas split. We actually talked about this in church last Sunday. Paul and Barnabas split. There was a lack of synergy in the team. Now, God ended up using that in the end. But and Paul, in the end, says, please bring John Mark because he's useful to me. I think maybe Paul grew through that as well as John Mark. So how do we make synergy work? If there is synergy in the community, a great deal can be accomplished. Things can get done. But if there's tension and there's mistrust, the work's going to suffer. And so there are periods in organizations where you see this synergy as a mark of high performance, and it results in effective growth. It results in things really happening for the kingdom. So synergy is at work when we follow the guidance of Scripture and the Holy Spirit, when we involve stakeholders and we collaborate with partners. We see synergy when we seek unity, when we're willing to delegate and trust people, when we cooperate with one another. We see synergy when we seek forgiveness and understanding, and when we're sensitive to the needs of the community. That's when we have synergy. So, like we heard this morning, cooperation makes beautiful music. And a good acronym, I think, for this is TEAM. So together, each accomplishes more. And I think that's what we're reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the whole idea of the cord of three strands. So being that cord means working together. Anyway, Lord's blessings on you. You're doing a great work for the Lord. And I hope you continue. Thank you.